Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. I'm so happy to have you back. Today, we have a stay-at-home bonus episode. Before we dive into the bonus episode, I have a fun announcement for you. What to Read Next podcast is now part of the Frolic Podcast Network. This is a podcast community of everything romance and romance-related. If you're into romance fictions of any flavor, the Frolic Podcast Network includes shows that features book club style discussions, author interviews, comedy, critique, and fantastic conversations as well. The network includes some of the most interesting and entertaining podcasts that includes Women's Shelf Love Podcast, Literary Us Podcast, Movies and Newbies, and much more. What does it mean for you as a listener? More shows for you to enjoy and more opportunities for us to introduce you to great episodes and new podcasts you'll love. Find new shows to add to your podcast subscription at frolic.media/podcast. Now let's get to the show. Today's guest is Dee Dee from Dee Dee Reads Instagram account and blog. In this episode, we're going to chat fantasy books, audiobooks, as well as what we're doing while we're staying home. Welcome, Dee Dee, to the show.
Hi.
So happy to have you here. So how are you doing?
I am doing pretty well. I'm in the New York City area, so me and my husband are pretty hunkered down. From a day-to-day life, I was laughing recently at myself when I realized that I'm either sitting or running outside. There's no in between. But, you know, keeping our spirits up, trying to stay busy when we're not working, which has admittedly been quite a bit.
Yeah, you actually had a shift. Like, you have more work because you do work in the financial market. So you got to feel the economy right now, which is kind of like a really challenging time.
Yeah, I write content about personal finance, and the company that I work for is in the investing industry. So obviously with the stock markets on fire and a lot of people so just tragically going through hard financial times right now, they're hungry for advice and guidance. And so we have been working, you know, 10, 12 hour days during the week to try to get that advice out there for them.
Well, thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it. It makes an impact. I think when you're hunkering down at home, like, you kind of like you find yourself unemployed. You find yourself like, you know, your 401k is not as it used to look like.
Yeah, don't look at it.
Yeah, I think that's a good chance. Do not look at it right now.
But don't touch your face. Don't touch your investments.
Yes. So it's good to have, you know, resources that can give you to walk you through it. So thank you for what you're doing. I know it's a lot of work, but it makes an impact.
Thank you.
So what does your day-to-day look like right now?
So like I said, I have been working quite a bit during the week. I do try to wake up a little earlier in the mornings, and take a little bit of time for myself so that I'm not just like rolling out of bed and starting to work. It's tricky when like there's no longer any barrier between work and home. And I do want to say that I feel like incredibly fortunate to have the ability to work from home. That is absolutely a privilege that so many people right now don't have. And I'm so grateful for all the people who are continuing to go to work every day to keep society running. They don't get thanked nearly enough. But you know, a lot of people are also working from home, and I think it's important to try to not just roll out of bed and start working, for your own mental health if you're in that situation. So I do try to wake up and carve a little bit of time for myself, have a cup of coffee, write a book review, read a couple of chapters, just do something that makes me feel like me before I open my work computer. Mm-hmm. And then from the moment I open my work computer, it's pretty much a fire drill all day. Right now, you never know. We kind of breathe a sigh of relief when the markets close at 4 o'clock each day. You know, I'm usually working well into the evening. Sometimes I'll take a break and go outside and go for a run in the late afternoon if the weather is nice. And sometimes I'll cook dinner, if I feel like I have that flexibility from my work day, but I usually close my computer probably around like, 8 o'clock at night. And then I will spend a little time with my husband, probably read a little bit more. I've been going to bed a little bit later than I would like, because I just have been clinging to that time to be able to read and do the things that are mine. So that's during the week. But then during the weekend, I really have just been like kind of tuning out the whole world and burying my nose in some books to, you know, get through my TBR and, you know, really feel like I'm taking back that time for myself.
Yeah. So what kind of books are you reading?
Well, I read all sorts of books. I read a good mix of literary fiction, fantasy, and a little bit of commercial fiction, but mostly like those are my two favorite genres. Mm-hmm. And I'm making my way through a couple of the prize lists at the moment on the literary fiction front, specifically the Women's Prize and the Booker Prize. But I have also really been picking up a lot more fantasy novels than even I usually do, just because I have been finding that they offer a really great mental escape from the stress that the entire world is in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about fantasy. What are some of your suggestions? Like, what should we pick up? What has been the most pressing thing about reading fantasy?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that, like, people who don't read a lot of fantasy novels or magical realism often can... That's because they found it difficult to kind of get into the idea of fantasy. It just doesn't resonate with them. But, or there are, you know, some groups of people where it just, they kind of like look down their nose at the genre as like, oh, vampires or whatever. But I feel like there's so much promise in the way that storytelling can be done in magical realism and fantasy specifically. I think I feel really strongly about the fact that when you suspend, you know, certain aspects of reality in a story, that allows you to hyper-focus on other aspects that are true to life, more specifically like the emotional elements and the human elements and the things that connect us across the world. And it can really like shed a light on those things in a particular way that makes me feel really connected to other people. And so that is another thing that has really had me gravitating towards fantasy. But I have to say that I recently read... I read the most recent Sarah J. Maas, House of Earth and Blood, Crescent City, number one, and it is like absolutely worth the hype that it's receiving. It was incredible. And I will caveat that by saying it might not be as enjoyable for our friends in the queer community, because this book is very, very centered on like a really, really hot cisgender woman with like a really, really hot cisgender man. And like, that's like the only romance element in the book. But if that's what you are into, then I think that you will enjoy this book, but it had a lot going for it. It was like a roller coaster. I was like frantically texting people who had already read it, like with my heart bleeding. And it was like a great mystery that it was so good. Her best to date, I think. So I definitely recommend that people start there.
Love it. Yeah, I love Sarah J. Maas. Like, I read Blizzard of Her series, and I had that one on Kudo, but it's, like, it's been hard to just read fantasy for me, and I know it's, like, it's a good escape, and I know that's gonna, in some ways, it's going to be helpful, but I heard from Sarah J. Maas, that book, that it takes 150 pages to get into it, and I think, for me, that feels like a barrier. That's a long time to get into an 800-page book.
I would say that might be true of the central plot, but I personally didn't find that to be true of like my interest in the book.
Okay.
There's a lot of exposition and there's information and world building. And then you kind of like served a little bit of a curveball. Like you thought the book was going to go one way and it kind of goes in a different way. And I think that might be what she was referencing rather than like, oh, you're not going to like feel hooked into this story for like 150 pages. I did not find that to be the case myself.
Okay, that's good to know. And does it end the cliffhanger? Those are a couple questions.
It is a tolerable end to a book one of a new series.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I know, because I try to, that's always a concern of mine too. But it is like I definitely want to read the next book, but I'm not like I am gonna die if I don't get it right now.
Okay, because when are we getting the next book? Is it next year?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, because we're getting Akatar spinoff next year. So,
and yeah, I'm sure she's bouncing around.
Yeah, and I don't think she has in the past, she has posted two books in a year, but these are hefty books. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. So maybe I'll pick it up. I don't know. I have an issue with like series that are not complete because like I'll read them and then I'll have to wait a year or 2 years and then I forget everything and I have to kind of like just feel like double work. Like I have to read the whole series.
I know. I find that like, you know, there are like the recaptains, like there are some websites that do a really good job of like providing really detailed recaps for books that's like often enough to jog my memory, but I know what you mean. I'm planning on diving into the, like, there are two conclusions of fantasy series that are coming out this year that I'm really anticipating, and I'm definitely planning on rereading the other books in the series and lead up to them. The first one is the Devabod trilogy by S.A. Chakraborty. The first one is The City of Brass. So that is coming out in June, and I, like, literally, like, cannot wait. This book is... Honestly, this trilogy is so good. It's got everything that you could want. It's got like the strong, like female, like rags to super magical powers. It's got like super hot, like warrior dude love interest. It's got like the really smart prince who's like on her side against the like evil king who's controlling all the strings. It's got this like really complex political like situation, and it's really well done. And I have no idea how she's going to finish it because she's done such a good job of making it so that like the situation that they found themselves in is so complex. I don't know how she's going to untangle it, but I can't wait to see. So that comes out in June. And then the other one, of course, is Ember 4, right? I mean, we've all been waiting for the conclusion of Ember in the Ashes for like years and years and years. And so that's coming out much later this year. I'm going to wait. I think it's, I can't remember, November or December, but I think I'm going to wait until like October or so to start rereading that. So I'm not torturing myself, again, waiting for the last book.
Yeah. If you can wait till like, you know, to get closer so you can binge read them, that's the best. That's like, that's one thing I love about, I think I read Saturday Mass. I read Throne of Glass series. I read the first six books or I read all the way to Tower Down. So literally a month, I just read them all and it was just like so amazing. And then I had to, and I was like, oh my God, this is horrible.
But I know, but I do think that like, you know, where I know you and I read quite a few books a month, but you know, for the people out there who are not ridiculous like us and, you know, read fewer books, like those are both solid trilogies or, well, Ember is obviously going to have four, but those are solid fantasy series that, you know, if you wanted to start slowly poking your way through some, like they would be a good place to start as well.
Yeah. So, gosh, awesome. So have you watched any TV shows or movies?
I hate to let you down, but the answer is no. I'm not necessarily a watcher of things. In most situations, it's just kind of not the way that I gravitate towards relaxing. Like if I pop down on the couch, just my inclination is going to be to pick up a book rather than turn on the TV. That being said, my husband has been rewatching The Office. And so that's on in the background a lot. And so I've been giggling, you know, over his shoulder as he's been making his way through that.
Yeah, I think The Office is a great background noise. It's just like, it reminds you, you're in an office, you got water cooler moments, you got Dwight going all crazy, Michael Scott. Being lots of all times. So I think that's a perfect background noise. It just reminds you you're in the workplace.
Yeah, exactly.
So awesome. And so any podcasts, audiobooks, do you listen to audiobooks or you just read?
I do. No, I love to listen to audiobooks. It's one of my favorite ways to squeeze in, you know, a couple extra reads a month. Mm-hmm. But I also like tend to gravitate toward audiobooks for nonfiction and memoir, just because a lot of the especially the literary fiction that I read, like you just want to like pour over those sentences and spend time with them and be able to highlight them and like eat them up. And I think that that's, you know, not never true for nonfiction, but less often true for nonfiction, whereas like you're just kind of like taking in the information or listening to the author of the memoir, you know, tell you about their life. And so I tend to gravitate towards that. So right now I am listening to this book, Invisible Women, which is about the lack of data about women's lives that's like causing terrible things in the world. So like things like crash test dummies, like not being like to women's like height, and then like women like dying in car crashes. That was like a really like morbid example, but like basically how there's just like this like data gap, like women's like gender data gap that like fuels everything from like the way that we like design transportation and like which, you know, sidewalks get cleared first in a snowstorm and, you know, the construction of army uniforms that women can't like easily get out of to go to the bathroom. Like just it's really eye opening and I'm learning a ton from it. And then I'm also making my way through the Lord of the Rings on audiobook. Like just like, you know, when I like cook or fold the laundry or whatever, I have read them before and I wanted to do audiobook for the reread because they can be a little detail heavy. So I thought audio was like a good in between. And then for podcasts, I recently found a podcast called The Slowdown. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it's a really, they're really short episodes. They're every weekday and it centers on a poem, like a new poem every weekday. Mm. And it's just been like a really joyful couple of minutes in the morning that I've been spending.
That sounds like really good self-care. Like, you know, just kind of like treat yourself.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That's awesome. What has been the most surprising thing you have done or have encountered during this time at home?
That's a good question. I think that I expected to have energy to cook more often than I do. I use a meal subscription called Dinnerly. They are an inexpensive and more simple meal kit solution than things like HelloFresh. And I like, you know, my husband and I are picky eaters and I just, I'm not like, I don't love to cook. So it's a good fit for us. But like, I thought, oh, I'll be home more often. I won't be commuting. Like I'll, you know, want to cook more and nope, I'm still the same, person who doesn't necessarily love to cook, but, it's been really nice to have those like fresh groceries delivered during this time. And I'm really grateful to Dinnerly for continuing to operate, you know, normally. It's really helpful.
Yeah. I think it's like, it's a shift, like, you know, like I think in your case, you're working long hours. So
yeah.
It makes sense not to want to cut, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think you just like assume that you're like going to have more energy and that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, no, it's like your life shifted, but there are certain things that you're going to prioritize and there are certain things that you're just like, your energy is shifted towards.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. So have you just heard any fun deals, classes, resources, or something to share with our listeners?
Well, I have actually used an app called Aptiv, AAPTIV, for like years now. They are audio only like fitness classes. So you can like have a trainer like coach you through a run or a workout. And they have a lot of like workouts that you can do at home without equipment, like a lot of, you know, strength exercises. They've got yoga and meditation, walking, like I said, running. They have a lot of stuff. And so first of all, I would definitely recommend checking them out for like ever. But I think that they're just a really cool company that has a really great service. But they have also been putting certain classes out for free as podcasts. They've been going live a lot. I know a lot of fitness brands have been going live on Instagram with classes. And so that's kind of been like a really heartening thing to watch. Like all these service providers making content accessible to the masses, even in this time when you know that their revenue is probably hurting. I just have loved watching the world come together as a community. I think, you know, it's scary, but in a lot of the ways it's bringing out the best of all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's like it has shifted everything and it has brought it sounds like community. Like I, you know, the things that I did not realize during this time around that I'm like, oh, I understand that. Like for me, connection is a big deal. And so I realize I'm not fully an introvert, like I'm an ambivert. And so being connected and just taking classes or just seeing what other people are doing just helps you feel like you're part of a solution or part of you doing your part while staying at home. So
yeah, exactly. And I think the last thing that I, you know, would want to say is just like reiterating again that like I recognize that I am part of a fortunate group of people who's able to stay home. Mm-hmm. I think that there's been a lot of chatter online lately where people are like, oh my gosh, like I'm bored. like, what do I do with my time? Like, you know, what have you been doing with all of this free time? And I think that like, it's important to remember that having free time like that is a privilege. And I'm really grateful to everyone who is making it possible for other people to stay home, especially people delivering mail and people working in the medical field and in grocery stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes an impact. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Didi, for being on the show. So where can we find you online?
I am, as you mentioned, on Instagram. My handle is Didi Reads, and you spell my name D-E-E-D-I. Most people will not guess that, so I always make sure to say it. So Didi Reads on Instagram, and then I have a lifestyle and book blog, DidiSpeaking.com, with a monthly newsletter that you can subscribe to if you want. Oh, I'm also on bookshop.org. If you have heard of Bookshop, it's this recent startup that launched as an alternative to Amazon. So you can buy discounted books online, but there's a profit share with independent bookstores. And I have set up an affiliate profile with them. So you can shop with me on bookshop.org and benefit indie bookstores at the same time.
Awesome. Thank you, Didi, for being on the show.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. This is the best way to support the show. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadingnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.